Hello all, welcome to the Lunar Sea Spire Cartoon Fan Podcast. This is episode 500 and today we'll be talking about It Takes Time from Summer Camp Island. I'm GC13.
And I'm David.
So we did it, we made it to the end of Summer Camp Island, and this is a newer era of magic, a crazier era of magic, where not just Mildred, but everyone gets free frogs.
As long as she's not changing people into frogs. I will point out that when Mildred's magic was uncontrolled at one point, it did have, like, truly negative effects on some people's lives. Like, I feel like there's no shame in frogs appearing and it being a different kind of magic, but it is important that, you know, Susie points out, hey, I'm gonna help you with your magic this time. And it's not
that,
like...
That was part of the deal.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, I feel like this is an extremely weird start to talk about, to talk about this finale. But I just want to say, I don't even know why I want to say it. You know, Mildred is great. Her magic's great. It was just funny that there was an episode where I watched people turn into, like, springs and frogs and their hands got switched with their feet.
Which was the most traumatic thing for them.
Yes, it would have been fine if there was just another witch coming by and, you know, helping people out, clean it up. It was pretty disastrous to just have Mildred running around on her own. But yeah. Lots of things have changed, and that's what Susie points out too. Lots has happened in 400 years. Mildred's been a better guard of her own magic in a very literal sense, and she doesn't need to feel shame about it, especially when she can actually have a community now, which was always a possibility back then too. There were just unfortunate circumstances and timing.
and we've already seen that they can add additional members of the coven beyond the 13th, so I'm pretty sure Mildred's gonna join up.
Ah, yeah, adorable. That makes me want to skip right to the end of... There's so many things to say. Yeah, the coven is great because this finale... There's probably a whole list we could do of how this finale does things that a lot of cartoon finales seem to do. So here's one trope I like checking off. Everybody gets a new outfit. All the coven members get a new outfit right at the end. It's very slick because, who is it? Hedgehog waves the wand to put everybody in new outfits at the end. As almost in a kind of obligatory, this is what you do now. kind of like the dance party at the end of DreamWorks films. At the end of Cartoon Network shows and Disney Channel shows, you show all the characters, if not a few months or years in the future, then... in different outfits for sure, because it's your last chance. It's great.
I mean, at the very least, I liked that they took the chance to do the obligatory montage of how things are going over a beautiful song. Fiona and Cake, for instance, as we discussed relatively recently, did that as well.
Oh. And this song couldn't be more the epitome and perfect closing to Summer Camp Island. It is about peanut butter and honey sandwiches. I want to eat them now, like right now. I love that the song calls it a snack. I've never thought of a sandwich as a snack. Perfect. It's always a meal or part of a meal.
Very large snack.
It is an adorable song. It's sung so purposefully to make you cry. But I didn't, but I was close. Watched it the second time. Okay, more tropes. They rebuild stuff. I love that.
I mean, they literally have to. This is their home, and it kind of got trashed by Susie's tornado.
Yes, but it wouldn't be a finale if a bunch of property didn't get destroyed and needed some fixing. I love that that's just a universal symbol that we show kids, like...
Come to think of it, they did that in Fiona and Cake, too.
In Fiona and Cake, in Steven Universe, in...
They got new outfits in Fiona and Cake, too. Maybe you're onto something with this, David.
No, I'm not even onto something. It's clearly a thing. I'm sure it's a named trope, and we could definitely name more examples. I mean, we haven't talked through Amphibia yet, but I hope it's not a spoiler to say it's a cartoon in the modern era. There is rebuilding, and there is montage of people later in life. Like, that is how these things operate.
Did we mention the Owl House?
Yeah, I was about to say, the Owl House, they do rebuilding? Probably?
Yes,
okay. So, they can't help it. And I don't think the trope is worn out yet, because it's fun and things can be low stakes. I think this episode isn't structurally similar completely, but it is similar to Steven Universe Futures, spoiler, ending episode, which the climax has already happened, and now we're just kind of vibing.
Yeah, all the stakes happened in the penultimate episode of each series, leaving this as a beautiful wrap-up.
Which is funny because, I mean, they are... It's funny that saving magic is actually a casual act now, but what else were you expecting from Summer Camp Island? We got the emotional drama out of the way. The sort of what would normally be the big plot thing is even made fun of a little because, well, Oscar's parents now think they might be the ones to save magic. Oh, why would Barb mislead them like that?
Now, of course, now that you mention Oscar's parents, I always notice something new when I watch an episode to podcast about it. And this time I realized that I must have loved Dungeon Doug a lot more than I thought. It really impacted me seeing Oscar's father in an episode like that. And so I always associated the name Doug with him, even though they say his name here a couple times. It's Andy. Oh, well.
Oh, yeah. How funny. But it's cute that they go through the book together now.
Yep, they get right back to Dungeon Doug. See, I think it gives me the 1-2 punch. It's like, GC, his name is Andy, but remember Dungeon Doug.
That's so sweet. I'm glad that Oscar's parents are the first ones to enjoy magic again. That's the big open question for the show, for fans to think about going forward, however they want to think about and draw about and make more stories about characters and the world. Magic is back, little mushrooms appear in some kid's backyard, and only time will tell if people accept magic again, but hopefully at least some people will be like Oscar's parents and get a lot of joy out of it.
That would be the ideal, though. You know what? I just don't know how we would realistically expect Oscar's world to handle this. I think there would be a lot of nonchalance going on, like, wow, that mushroom was talking. That is the craziest thing.
I wonder how we see Hedgehog's mom, for instance. There is totally a perspective that is modern, like our own, where this world truly would not anticipate magic, and it would be really disturbing. So now maybe just the overall Summer Camp Island, woke mind virus that clearly everyone has in the show, you know. It's very happy and accepting, and even though occasionally the kids were mean to each other, this world has people who are very kind and understanding, and, you know, it's a little bit of the lighthouse effect of Steven Universe in a different way. Like, as far as that was the fan theory where people thought maybe
no attention to the gems behind the curtain.
No one seemed to care that magic was a thing with the gems, and maybe people thought it was because they were being mind controlled in some way. But no, it just turns out magic becomes mundane after a while. But here, kindness is mundane. Like, people are just generally kind, except for Hedgehog's mom, who I love gets a final weird shout out for having the saying that if something's broke, just ditch it, which I'm a little surprised is part of her personality. Like, I can see the part that says dumb things and crappy things are bad, so get rid of them. But the idea that she's such a perfectionist and would keep lawnmowers in her yard.
She probably buys cheap lawnmowers, so it's cheaper to get a new one than it is to repair them.
Yeah, that's just like, it's a complex personality.
Mowing the lawn is a chore for her. It's not something she values. Why would she invest money into it?
I just assume that if she does have a stack of lawnmowers, they're in a shed that no one can see them. You know?
Oh,
not
definitely.
Not littering her lawn.
Yeah, that is not the way of the Hedgehog family, that is for sure.
Let's see, any more tropes? We see everyone together again, but there's nothing unique about that. I do love seeing everyone together again.
I loved that Ramona had her crazy outfit. She didn't initially recognize that Susie had aged, but then she takes another look at her. Wait a minute, you do look a day over 15.
Oh my gosh, and yeah, the writing for that was so cute.
I mean, I guess if you stare at somebody's face for a couple hundred years, you kind of notice even the most subtle of differences.
Yeah. Noticing aging, kind of like Steven in Steven Universe gaining one facial hair. I think it's funny, though, that in this case, Susie is not distinguishably older in any cartoon language, but Ramona can tell.
Like I said, they've been besties a long time. She knows. Ramona was off in frozen time. I wonder if she was still there and just cut off from returning to ordinary time by the lack of magic, or if she phased out of existence like the monsters.
Right. Is frozen time magical dependent? Are the time babies magical or somehow exist in the world? I don't know. You know, the gods, what even is the hierarchy of the gods? Time exists when there isn't magic, somewhat, supposedly, and yet Pajamas, who, okay, maybe he's not still a god in a power sense.
He got demoted big time, so.
But can he be demoted from a, like, physical entity sense?
He got turned into Pajamas, I think. I think he's just Pajamas now, a purple pair of Pajamas.
Yeah, the rules of that are funny, because you're like, okay, well, yeah, I don't know how do fantasy universes operate. If you have a soul or an id or a something that is you, how does that relate to your physical self? Like, can time, who is a god, also just not be a god but still be time? How is Pajamas not a god? Like, I can understand the powers being stripped, contained, whatever. It's just funny that he is fundamentally Pajamas now. But magical ones. So he doesn't exist when the diamond doesn't exist. Whatever.
But they do get a new, beautiful peanut butter and honey sandwich. I loved tying that in to one of the earlier season episodes. Oscar really was the chosen one.
Now, that's funny. How long ago was his... He had a more recent venture at the Monk's Place too, but that was not... Wasn't that the invention of the sandwich?
Yes, that was the invention of honey as the new flavor instead of jelly.
Right. Yeah, that's a great conclusion for Oscar. I guess Hedgehog doesn't have as big of a moment here, really. She's just on top of her game, like she's been the past few episodes.
I mean, she's giving our boy Oscar no credit still. He probably just has to pee.
That's true. Oh, you know, she's trying to make a nice excuse for him.
But Susie, Susie's gonna Suze because she wants magic right there where she can see it from her front porch.
In a pool, which no idea if the placement or shape has any symbolism at all. The small notes about that the diamond could have represented a different, more perfect form of magic, and now they're going for something that is acceptable instead. I don't quite know how to parse or if it's meaningful. That hasn't been like a huge theme of the show, perfection of magic and worrying a lot about perfection. Everyone's been pretty easygoing, and I can't think of, you off the top of your head think of where the theme of like perfection, I guess maybe Hedgehog and her mom are the most we get.
I was just about to mention that. You know, Hedgehog's mother, very goal-oriented. You have to have a career. You don't have time for fun. Why is that child pretending that this wrapping paper tube is a spyglass or anything? Like, no time for joy.
So I guess it's a fundamental part of Hedgehog's character, but it's not like we are constantly confronted with her mom. It's not a huge presence in the show.
It still fits, though, because why did magic retreat in the first place? Because, you know, it felt unwanted anymore. Now, can you imagine an Oscar being like, oh, like half of the population would much rather have business careers than do fun Oscar hangout things? Can you imagine Oscar secluding right. himself to an island? After that, I don't think he would.
Yeah.
Maybe this new magic will be okay with a lot of people who are like, okay, that's very nice talking mushrooms. I do not want to play.
Well, and, you know, some people still are okay with being non-magical. I'm going to forget if her name's Alexa or it's Alexa's sister.
Lem is nothing, and she's okay with that.
Yes, Lem is Ahsoka, and that's okay. Except, it's funny, she's not even really Ahsoka, because she never had to demonstrate that she had value.
She never had to teach the actor playing her how to play her properly.
That's true. For with the new Netflix show, I was really confused by that sentence, but then I remembered the Ember Island players, and it's...
Simultaneously the best and worst episode of the series. I love it so much.
And are they going to do it in the Netflix show? I think they should just leave that material alone.
They should just have an entire episode that is nothing but the world of the... as portrayed by the Ember Island players. Just no explanation.
Do a season.
True fans will know.
They have to earn it. You know, like Avatar earned that. But...
Yeah, they did have the cabbage merchant the whole way through to feed him info.
Exactly. There was a through line.
So Summer Camp Island is over, ending on a hopeful note, I think.
Well, yeah, there's so much more room here. I like that the prophecy alien still trying to write another prophecy.
And Barb's like, no, I refuse. You are forbidden.
Barb is great. So yeah, it's like the future is left open, not for what plot is happening next, but, you know, a question to maybe the kids watching. Will you be accepting magic? How are you going to look out for magic in the world and realize what tolerance and acceptance looks like? That's good. There should be more of this show. There's no reason for there not to be more of this show. I don't need to see when Ramona dies and Susie's still alive. But other than that, there's a lot more that I could easily see of these characters. Develop the coven more. So many things.
Well, they've got their 15th member.
Exactly. Can everyone see the moon now?
I hope so. He's the world's best moon. His mug says right there.
Like... That's got to be a simultaneous shocker if everyone can finally see this moon at night.
This miracle rabbitless moon, I should point out. He finally comes out of hiding. I wonder if he decided to start his metronome back up or if he decided to keep on being immortal a little longer.
Who knows? I mean, was he sustaining himself by... It wasn't that just hiding on the moon made him immortal. Like, he also had a potion or solution.
He ran away from time. Time was coming for him.
So he was merely hiding. So I think by not being in hiding, that maybe helps. But like we saw, maybe there's this metronome process. I like that, by the way, that it starts with being hydrated. I just never tires me that Summer Camp Island throws in the mental health tips all the time in very nice, gentle ways.
Hey, the hydration is a physical matter as well, David.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that is it for us on Summer Camp Island. Next week, we move on to Hilda, a series that was gone from us for too long, but like Summer Camp Island, also got a conclusion.
We're going to be looking out for tropes.
Oh, and I'm sure we will find ourselves plenty.
We'll see. If Hilda gets a new outfit, then I don't know if I quit or what.
You ascend to a higher state of being.
Exactly. It's one direction or the other.
Like I said, that is it for us on It Takes Time. Join us next week for Hilda. Until then, though, I'm GC13.
And I'm David. Don't forget to leave us a review anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Later, everybody.
Our opening and closing music is by Mark Soto. For more cartoon-related content, please visit LunarCeasefire.com.